Welcome to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. My name is Catherine Barkman, and I'm a soloist at San Francisco Ballet. This podcast series of Meet the Artist interviews is your chance to get to know us, the dancers, musicians, designers, and choreographers at SF Ballet, as we discuss our lives, the process in the studio, performances on stage, and more. Join us for Meet the Artist interviews live and in person in the Opera House before Friday and Sunday performances. Or tune in all season long to hear podcast recordings of San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist interviews. Enjoy!
Thank you so much for joining, for those of you who are settling down. Tonight, we are going to be starting with a Meet the Artist conversation ahead of tonight's performance of Swan Lake. And my name is Jessica Cohen. I'm going to be hosting this conversation. And I'm here with Francis Chung, principal dancer. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So for those of you that know Francis, I feel like there's not much of an introduction that I could do in justice to her career.
I've been here for a long time.
We were sort of recollecting backstage that I have been looking up to Francis since I was young and training at the San Francisco Ballet School. And so for me, it is really an honor to be here with you. And I'm particularly selfishly delighted to have this conversation. But to give just a little snapshot before we dive in, Francis Chung has been with the company since 2001, I believe, and rose through the ranks all the way to becoming a principal dancer in 2009, I believe, based on Google. But anyhow, she has embodied an enormous list of roles. It would be impossible to list them all, and tonight we're going to sort of dive in a bit more on Swan Lake and Odette Odile. But to start, I would love to ground the conversation just on perhaps the spark that was the beginning of your journey towards becoming a ballerina, and you know, what made you follow this path?
I feel like I have a different answer for this question often, and I usually start by saying it wasn't a spark as much as a gradual development, a gradual love of ballet. But I've been thinking about this, and I think perhaps this thought came because I have kids now, and I look at my kids, and kids just have this natural desire to not stop moving. And my parents allowed that. And I think one of my favorite things to do when I was a child is dance in our living room. My dad had a small collection of records, and I only remember two. One was Air Supply, and one was Tchaikovsky. And the Tchaikovsky record had this flower on the cover, and I remember asking my dad, oh, can you play the record with the flower record? And yeah, my sister and I would just dance in the living room. Is that a spark? Probably not, but yeah, my parents, you know, we were a normal family, if you will. My mom worked at the airport. My dad worked at a telephone company. And, you know, we didn't have money to go watch ballet or go see live arts. But they did, you know, put my sister and I in piano lessons and ballet lessons. And, yeah, more and more I just think about how my parents have just nurtured and allowed opportunities to happen, and it all happened quite naturally, and nothing was ever, there was never a thought of like, oh, my daughter is going to become a ballerina. It was always taking one step after another, but I think I do have really fond memories of just jumping around at home, doing leaps in the hallway on my own, and yeah, moments in the living room, dancing to Tchaikovsky and possibly Air Supply.
Moments in the living room that have somehow brought you to center stage at the San Francisco Ballet. So not everyone's moments in the living room quite take them there. I think that that's quite remarkable. And I'd love to know, kind of, you know, skipping ahead a bit towards when you landed at the San Francisco Ballet, it's one thing to get into the company and to be in the core. And then it's another thing to sort of take those further steps up the ladder, you know, from Big Swans, as we were saying, to Odette O'Deal. So were there any moments in that chapter that you felt were particularly impactful in kind of that rise, moments that stand out to you?
Honestly, when I graduated from high school and got a job with San Francisco Ballet, my goals were, I honestly remember thinking, oh, I'd be just so happy to be in the core doing Swan Lake, being one of the swans on stage. And the first year in my company, in 01, we had a six-week tour to London and Spain, and we did a lot of Swan Lake shows, and I was could not be happier. And then, you know, I think, again, it was just a natural progression. Of course, you see, you're inspired. I was so inspired by the principal dancers then. You can't help but want to also dance like them and be like them. So, you know, it was I don't know, I always wanted more, I guess, eventually. And I don't know, who knows how it all happens.
Yeah, I mean, the technical proficiency and the artistry meeting the timing and that allowing you to step forward into the spotlight. And so to go there to Swan Lake and to perhaps the first time you had the chance to embody the role of Odette O'Deal to now, would love to know what that first experience was like meeting the role and then perhaps coming back to it now.
First experience was terrifying. I'd always been the kind of allegro dancer. I was always casted in parts like Keytree or Swanhilda and Coppelia. And those parts really came naturally to me. I could easily tap into that personality and kind of just the way my body's built. I think, yeah, personally, I was more comfortable in those roles, and I think the artistic staff probably saw me in those roles more easily. So, but however, Swan Lake is that iconic ballet. Once you're a principal dancer, you can't help but need to be Odette O'Deal. So I was grateful for the opportunity, but it was very terrifying at first. And and luckily, I've had multiple experiences with Swan Lake now. So this last experience, I have to say, has been the most gratifying, and I've had just the ability to be able to lean into the discomfort more. And yeah, psychologically, a lot goes on in your head when you're doing something you feel like are not necessarily meant to do, or that comes naturally, and it's taken a lot of time and obviously a lot of work, and I've had amazing coaches along the way. But I can't say I was, you know, most proud of my first attempts at Swan Lake. But I guess happily say that there's something really switched this year, and I am like really enjoying it so much. Nothing has gotten easier by any means. By the end of the ballet, you are in complete exhaustion, and nothing will, that will never change. And before third act begins, I still don't want to go on stage because you're that tired, but it's been a completely different experience this time around.
Wow. It's, I think, this lady in the front came up to you at the very beginning, was remarking on your embodiment of a swan and just how viscerally real that felt, and I've seen it myself, and I think it's so interesting to hear your perspective, that sort of perfection and, you know, how hard you work to make that come to life, whereas for us watching, it just feels like, you know, it's magical. So, yeah, it's interesting.
I'll go deeper, too. This year, I mean, it's really, half of it is probably just psychological for my personal experience with Swan Lake, but I think one of the big shifts in my approach to Swan Lake this year is that I wasn't, especially, it's, for me, it's second act that I have always found difficult to tap into. Third act is more my style. Approaching second act this year, actually, we got the amazing opportunity to work with Julio Boca, and he said something that really just transformed my approach this year, and he was like, you are a swan, but you are also a woman. And I was like, what? And I think for a long time, I was trying to be this creature that I couldn't really grasp. And the second he said that, I was like, well, I know how to be a woman. And it just made it so much more real and tangible for me. And like I said, it was all really just psychological. It was, you know, it didn't come down to like, oh, you have to plie before you pique in arabesque. But that mental shift allowed me to plie and pique arabesque and like be able to breathe and hold. And I guess oftentimes, maybe also at my point in the career, I think change happens less so within my technique as much as like a mental shift.
That's so interesting. My next question was going to be kind of unraveling further from that thought, which was these two personas. So we have in the second act, as Francis is referring to, is Odette, the white swan. And then in the third act is Odile, the black swan. And so I would just love for you to kind of go a bit further on that thought and tell us about how do you view these two women, these two creatures, and perhaps their essence. And then, yeah, I was going to ask which one you felt more inclined towards. Sounds like we have a black swan here. But I'd love to, yeah, get your thought.
No, I've been thinking about it a lot. And with Odette, the other thing that kind of lifted this, like, kind of heaviness to, I mean, you're embodying an iconic role. And it, I think, from my first few attempts, it was just so, it like weighed heavily on me that I was performing Odette. Whereas this time around, she mentally, for me, she's a much lighter creature. She's curious. She is part woman. And there is vulnerability and there is sorrow in the end, but especially the first few entrances, she's there and she's at peace. There's a lot of serenity, and I think before I just had different thoughts about that. So the other thing that has helped me kind of overcome my fear of Odette is really just focusing on one entrance at a time. I mean, this ballet is Everest. You go into it before a show thinking, ah, you're going to be on stage for so long. That adagio is so long. But yeah, one entrance at a time, one diagonal at a time. And it's really kind of just, yeah, not getting ahead of myself. As for Odile, my whole view on Odette Odile is just a lot lighter this year. She's, I'd say, like less evil and more playful, if you will. In my head, I'm literally there just to have fun with the prince and have myself a good time. And watching him, you know, in the end, kind of be to watch him fall into the trap of Rothbart is the most hilarious and fun thing to me. So that's my approach this time around. I have to say I'm really enjoying it. We'll see what the next time brings.
I love it. I love it because I think in my mind, I think it's easy, as you're describing, for Odette to fall into a bit of like a wounded bird vibe. And you're like, no, she's got a serenity and a power in that kind of that. Yeah, I love hearing that. It's so interesting to me. Speaking kind of more on the role, I'm curious about your partnership. I believe you're dancing with Joe Walsh. So I'm really curious, how do you approach in a ballet that's obviously requires such demand from that partnership and from that adagio? And so what's that partnership like? How do you build that relationship?
Joseph Walsh. Well, we've done a lot. We've danced a lot together. So we have a mutual trust. I mean, everything has happened between us. You know, things have not worked. Things have worked amazingly. We have a strong friendship inside, outside of work. We bond over our kids. I think, generally speaking, I love having relationships like that with my partners because you get to go on stage and then you just leave it all out there. You don't think about, like, what grip we're going to do here or there. We barely have to touch each other before we go on stage. Joe is great for me because we have kind of different personalities in that I never know what I'm doing. He generally always knows exactly what count is when and what step is where. I rely on him heavily on those things. And he's has this, like, just power through things, whereas I'm just like, are you sure we should rehearse that again? And it's good because he really makes me work beyond what I think I can do. And then I think, you know, I give him a sense of, like, we got this, like, we don't need to do that again. So I think we're a really good balance for each other. He also challenges me, which I really appreciate. And I think, you know, sometimes it's difficult when you've been a professional for a long time to be able to hear criticism or from your peers. But I think him and I are very honest with each other. And actually getting to the place where I am with Swan Lake and is a lot due to him and our time spent in the studio. And he'll straight up be like, that's not it. Or wow, like, I think I felt something there. So yeah, he's really a dream partner. Couldn't wish for a better person to share the stage with. And I think it comes across. But yeah, love Joseph.
That's awesome. It's such an intimate bond and relationship and the level of trust you have to have with that person, I think, is just beyond. So it's really special to hear. And on that note of sharing the experience of being parents, I did want to ask you, as a ballerina who has had children, which blows my mind, just like the ability to perform at the highest level, to take time away, to be a mom, is an incredible, like, heroic feat in my eyes. And I would just love to hear what that experience has been for you, leaving the stage, coming back, and how that's perhaps reflected on your work.
Sometimes I think about it, and I honestly have no idea how it happened to me, but I'm forever grateful. I think for starters, when I first joined the company, there were a lot of moms to look up to, and I remember watching Tina come back from her second child and being like, how is it possible that she's even better now? Watching Katita as a mom perform on stage. I had a lot of amazing people to look up to. And so I think in the back of my mind, I always knew that was possible. I think that's a huge gift to have had, just knowing that it's possible. I'm going to be really honest. I got to a point, I think it was 2018, where I was really tired. I was performing a lot. We had just come back from tour. And I was like, gosh, I could really use a break. No, I joke about that. But, I'm lucky enough that when I was ready to have a child, it happened for my husband and I. And I always knew I wanted at least a sibling for my first boy. So it just happened naturally. And then coming back, I'm telling you, ballet is way easier than motherhood. So all the mothers out there, coming to work is vacation. I love coming to work. I call my husband when I'm here at work. I'm like, are you okay? And thankfully, he's amazing with our children, and I don't have to worry.
Yeah, she's a hero as far as I'm concerned. That's awesome. Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I know we wanted to leave a few minutes for questions from the audience. So if anyone has questions for Frances, this is your time. So the question was, what do you like to eat to give you stamina for the performance? And I selfishly want to add on, do you have any pre-performance rituals?
I love talking about food. Oh, Joe will know. We love talking about food. First off, love to eat. Second off, I think I think about the week as a whole, and especially this last week, my kids have been coughing. John, my husband, has been coughing. So I've been making a lot of kind of Chinese herbal-y chicken broth. Kind of hearty soups. Made a really good lamb ragu pasta with pappardelle that I've been eating for a few days in a row. I think it's not just the day before or the day of. I try to think about the week, and because we have rehearsals as well as performances and whatnot. So these days I'm trying hard. It's difficult because sometimes, like after a show, the last thing you are is hungry. But I try hard to eat, especially on the days that I'm off, really well. And then before a show, it really depends on time, it's a matinee is slightly different than a evening show, but something that's probably easier to digest before a show, and I like to eat kind of long before a show, and then during the show, I'll be eating a banana, like during the intermissions and stuff like that, lots of liquids, of course. But yeah, during the show, I'll try to eat. Yeah, I usually have a banana or two. And then pre-show rituals, honestly, the older I am, the longer it is. The dancers used to joke when I was younger that I'd, you know, get there at half hour before. And I mean, not for a part like Odette, but you, like, I don't know, Sugar Plum. I remember when I was young, things just moved a lot easier. Now it's, I try to get to the theater at least 4 hours before a show. And I mean, I'm eating and, you know, stretching and this and that. But somehow 4 hours goes by really fast. putting on my makeup is part of the ritual, and then doing my hair. And then I usually do a bar backstage by the heaters. We also have a studio actually upstairs in this opera house, but you have to take an elevator to get there. And there, I don't know if you know, but the elevators sometimes don't work very well, and dancers have been stuck in there, so I try not to go up to the elevators.
I do remember that, yeah.
It actually happened this year.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Awesome. I'll also say you're giving chill. You're very chill. The half hour before.
That was a long time ago.
I think we can do one more question if there's any more. Otherwise, it'll be time for the show. So, oh, yeah. The question was sort of looking back, you speaking to the nerves or sort of how you've grown, and what do you attribute that to?
Oh, no, because I'm telling you, even before a tech rehearsal of Swan Lake, I'd say I'm just as nervous, if not more nervous now. I think that's a good thing because it means it's still important to me and that I still have a great passion for it. I think when you're not nervous before you go on stage, it's probably time to kind of look at what you're doing. I think it's probably just experience, time, experience. And then, with that time, you gain more knowledge. You get to work with more artists and different artists and people of different perspectives. And I think, yeah, just getting different perspectives and being able to, you know, keep chipping away at the craft that you'll never get to perfection, which is why I feel like we keep on doing it, and perhaps why you keep on coming, because that's what's interesting about what we get to do.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Frances. Thank you all for joining.
Thank you. I just want to give a shout out to all the swans this evening, if you can hear me. They do not get enough praise, and they're on stage every single night, and clap loudly for them because their job is just as hard, if not harder. So, all the swans on stage.
And enjoy the performance tonight, and come back and see Frances tomorrow.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about SF Ballet or to attend in-person Meet the Artist interviews and performances, visit sfballet.org. See you at the ballet.